This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan in D.C., 910 The Fan in Richmond, Odyssey app streaming everywhere, and NBC Sports Washington. You want to check us out on TV. We are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit CropMetcalf.com to join their team. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Bickle, Johnny Cake Sawville, and Jason Bishop. We've got Peter LaViolette, head coach of the Caps, joining us at 8:45. We can talk about the OV celebration last night. The game stuff, not going to be as fun
I'm
to
interested
talk about.
In how he knew they were going to come out on fire. Now, they fell apart at the end. That's a separate story. But he predicted, he basically guaranteed they were going to come out on fire. I want to know more about that.
They did.
And then you haven't mentioned, in the 9 o'clock hour, I do have my daughter's bike in my trunk.
Oh, nice.
And I'm going to go out there and I'm going to teach our update chick how to ride a bike.
Okay.
Savannah McCann joined us.
It's going to take me about 20 seconds.
She joined us at the end of the show yesterday, and the tease was, what does she not know how to do? When we had some guesses, and it turns out she can't ride a bike.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what are your bets? Do you guys have bets on this? Do you think she's going to just take off?
I think
no
she'll be able to
she's
ride
gonna
the
struggle.
Bike.
Like, she's going to ride
she
the bike.
She might have a mental block about it, man. I don't know.
Is that the only time she's attempted? Was the one time?
Twice.
She said twice.
Sounds like there were two times.
And once when she was little, and then once when she was 14 or 15, they made her go down a hill and she crashed.
Yeah,
and
down
she got
the hill
scared.
Was just a bad, that was a bad move.
Yeah.
I think the Peloton, actually, she said she uses the Peloton a lot. I think that actually is going to help. I mean, you just got to pedal and pedal and pedal.
Just pedal.
I just don't know how being on a Peloton that's not moving is going to help.
Well, it's the concept of pedaling.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it doesn't have the concept of balancing is an issue.
Right, but she's a dancer. She said she's a dancer.
Understood.
I assume you have some level of balance.
And I would bet on Savannah.
Parents clueless. I mean, that needs to be said. No disrespect.
I totally agree. They're probably very fine people.
Parents clueless. Yeah. You got. There's a couple.
They raised
things,
her poorly.
There's a couple things you have to do with your children when you raise them, and I don't like to tell parents what to do, but they got to know how to swim, and they got to know how to ride a bike. Those are two things
but
they got to be able to
balance
do.
Balance might have nothing to do with it. I have the world's worst balance. I'm silly on a bike.
Right.
Silly.
Right.
But it can't hurt you. Almost like Lance Armstrong level on a bike.
But good balance couldn't hurt you.
So we're going to do that coming up at 9 o'clock. You don't want to miss that. Can Savannah ride a bike?
It's more on Eric's teaching skills than
really,
Savannah riding a bike.
I don't know what to do. I'm just going to shove her. I'm going to put her on the bike.
You're going to do exactly what you did with your kids.
No, you're feeling the heat. You've bragged for years that you're this great bicycle instructor.
You're the bike whisperer.
Yeah. No, I'm not.
Yes,
I'm just,
you have.
It's the secret. It's the secret sauce is the grass and the bike, and then you just overcome your
fear. You're going to use the grass near the yards, first of all, the grass looked kind of nubby when I drove by it. I was a little bit shocked by that. Two, there are going to be dogs everywhere because the weather's supposed to be nice. There
well,
were people
you guys
out
figure
there
all that out. Where
I
I'm
did.
Going.
I did a walkthrough yesterday.
Yeah.
I thought
you have a spot.
The grass is nice. It's matted down, which is good.
Oh,
but there was a lot of dog poop.
Well, That's how, you know.
You better not fall.
Better not fall. Yeah, better not fall.
That's poor dog ownership.
But are you, one of you guys are coming with me. Drab, you coming with me?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. We're going to have it on video. We'll be on my cell phone. We'll be on NBC Sports Washington. We got the Comrex.
Ah, very good.
We got it all worked out.
Look at this professional outfit.
All right, so we're doing that at 9 o'clock, but we wanted to talk about Ed Cooley. So for Georgetown fans,
Ed,
I think
Ed Cooley will be there watching you teach Savannah how to ride a bike.
I think
he might be in town.
People are excited.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't work out with Patrick Ewing.
That's an understatement.
They made the tournament. Why do you have such glee in piling on Patrick? I've noticed that for a couple of years. You love piling on Patrick.
You have glee, though, when the Wizards and Caps struggle.
I mean,
you always smile.
I can counter with, why you did do you always want to get Patrick Ewing in studio? Like, it's
because he's Patrick Ewing. He's a Dream Teamer, Hall of Famer.
I mean,
somebody that we grew up
really
with.
I felt bad for how bad Georgetown became under Patrick Ewing. It's just, I don't know. Maybe it's my defense mechanism. Whenever Patrick Ewing is brought up, I feel so bad for him, I kind of chuckle.
Mm-hmm. I mean, honestly, I would have loved to have had him in studio to talk more about Dream Team and playing against Michael Jordan and all that stuff.
That ain't ever going to happen.
It's over. Okay. You'll never see him again.
But Cooley, I think everybody, it seems like, is positive about him coming to Georgetown. We'll see if it works out or not.
Yeah.
But in Providence, they are bitter. And there's an article here which outlines five reasons. Number one, he was quoted as saying, Providence is my dream job. And so those people are upset. He essentially had a lifetime contract. They boosted his salaries.
Two of those.
Yes.
Two lifetime contracts.
That's how they described the contracts. And
he would have had a Lou Carnesecca type of run if he really wanted it.
Mm-hmm.
He could have been there 30 years.
Yeah. According to this article, he was the 15th highest paid head coach in Division I basketball. His salary was equal to coaches who had achieved greater success in the NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
It says here, donors loved Cooley, poured millions into the program. But obviously, Providence College, no longer the dream.
Well, look, it's
they're
the
bitter
first
because of the house for sale.
Yeah.
Because it was unveiled on Monday that Cooley had been planning on selling his home for weeks. The timeline of what appeared to be Cooley's progression to becoming the new Georgetown coach was reset, but people thought that, or looking back on it, that he was out for a while, like mentally out.
And he probably was, and the team played like that. But again, and this is the first time ever that a coach has gone within the Big East and taken another job. But he was there 12 years, and I just feel like, and I'm just guessing, I'm just trying to get into his head, that he just felt like, I think the money was maybe a small part of it because he is getting $1 million raise, but he probably felt maxed out at Providence. And he obviously feels like he can do bigger things at Georgetown.
I'm sure that's what it is.
Two more reasons. You mentioned one, which was leaving for rival, that apparently the people in Providence are bitter, is late season collapse, which maybe he was checked out and already thinking about the next thing. And they had a 4-star guard who was committed there, who's already bouncing because
that happens at every
coaching staff
where a coach
is gone.
Leaves. That's not exclusive to Providence.
Providence News last night ran a package saying that Ed Cooley ruined his legacy. I mean, they are bitter.
Who cares? Providence has never won
now,
a national title.
Now, I know for
title.
A fact that Hartford is butt. Okay, I know that for a fact. Hartford is butt. What is Providence like? Is Providence nice? I have no idea.
I've never been to Providence.
I have no idea.
Never been to Rhode Island ever.
I think from what I've read before, is Providence is a very gritty, rugged city.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you just wanted to get out of there.
I've never
it's
been there.
Snubs. So, maybe Providence is just nubs.
David,
I don't know. I mean, scenery.
That's his hometown. I mean, I'm sure he's.
Well, then
loves
why
Providence.
Is he calling it his dream job all the time, saying that?
Well, don't coaches call current jobs dream jobs all the time? Kevin Willard said Maryland was his dream job.
Randy Edsall said Maryland was his dream job. Behind the scenes, selling their homes and maybe had the deal done. They think that he had this deal done in February.
The selling your home before, like putting it on the market a few weeks before you take the Georgetown gig, is not the greatest look. Is he so hard up for money he needs the sale of his house? He's not. He could have waited. He could have pumped the brakes on, hey, you know what? Let me take the Georgetown gig. Then I'll put the house on the market. A few weeks after the Georgetown. After accepting the game.
He doesn't want to pay two mortgages, Gates.
He doesn't want to put two mortgage bucks. I can understand
I did it for 15 years.
I can get that. Now, he's a man of means. He's pulling in $5 million.
Here's why they're upset is because while all of this was going on behind the scenes, he was doing interviews like in the tournament like this.
Vision coaching anywhere else at any point?
It's a fair question, Clark, and I'm asked that a lot.
Yeah.
And you never say never because things change.
Yeah.
If all things stay the same, I don't think there's a better fit in the world, let alone the country, where you can inspire young men and women that come from a tough background and also inspire young men and women who have means that anything's possible. Yeah. When young Ed was 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, I had a bouncing ball, a determination, and a dream to do something everybody doubted. Wow. Everybody doubted that this overweight, out of shape kid all of a sudden could come back and be the head basketball coach at a place. I don't think there's a better fit. Fit is what works. Relationships are what work. Authenticity and genuine appreciation for where your feet are is where you stand.
Yeah.
And I stand firmly on the grounds at Providence College.
Oh, that's awesome. He does have that might not.
But hold on. Do so you think at
he
that
did
time,
preface it though? If he played, he prefaced it by things change.
Yeah,
yeah.
He
but,
did. Never
but,
say
but
never.
Do you think at that time he had already had a deal with Georgetown?
I think that was in February with Clark Kellogg.
And he also said all things being equal and what changes. Look, he is making more money, but Portnoy, Dave Portnoy from Barstool, and Jeff Goodman, who's one of the top college basketball analysts, had a back and forth about this. So Portnoy started off kind of defending Cooley. He said, to summarize, if the difference was $6 million versus 3.75, nobody can criticize Cooley. However, if he's on the record as saying it wasn't about the money, he's public enemy number one and should be banned from Providence for life.
So what? Hold on. So what was the actual number?
So Goodman shot back and said, just an FYI, Ed Cooley did not leave Georgetown for the money.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't leave Georgetown or leave for Georgetown. Sure, he's making more at the Hoyas, but the average is about $5 million per year per source. Mm-hmm. 7 years at about $35 million at Georgetown per source. Providence was paying somewhere around $4.5 million per year. Mm. And Portnoy shot back. So why is he leaving? Just to stab everybody in the back?
Maybe it's a relationship thing.
And Goodman shot back.
What if they hired a new AD? Do they have a new AD? Do they have a new president? I mean, maybe it was a relationship thing.
He's also leaving because the ceiling at Georgetown, despite the current state, is so much higher than at Providence.
I think you're right.
Georgetown, they'll never get back to their iconic level of the 80s under John Thompson.
It might, but it's possible.
I don't think that's possible. But
why isn't it possible?
Because college basketball is just much different.
It was like a nationwide phenomenon back in the 80s.
I know, but Kentucky has had ups and then downs, and then they got back to like the power.
I think it's a long shot they'll get back to that level. But even if they don't, the ceiling for Georgetown is still way higher than it is for
Providence. But isn't the ceiling for all these schools different now? Because, I mean, Butler went to back-to-back national championships. Like, teams make runs.
They do, but I still think there's to the Georgetown name that like a Butler doesn't have or a Providence does not have.
I agree. Georgetown name is better. But I feel like you can make a run anywhere.
But Goodman shot back. Yeah. He kind of agrees with Cake. So he's getting this back and forth with Dave Portnoy. And Goodman said, stab everybody in the back. What the hell are you talking about? The guy was there for 12 years and left 4A, and it was all caps, which Jason loves. Better job. Just because they've been awful lately doesn't mean Georgetown can't go to Final Fours again. Ewing was the wrong hire.
Well,
he clearly feels that way, that the resources are better at Georgetown. I mean, he clearly feels that way.
I think
the resources are better. The recruiting pool in his backyard is way better. The pay is better.
I don't know anything about the practice facility at Providence, the resources, but just, you know, you got to assume that they're better at Georgetown. And he wouldn't have taken the job if he didn't feel that way.
I do think the lack of an on-campus arena hurts. Ed Cooley.
There you go.
That does hurt. Not, right. I think in Providence, it's an off-campus arena too, but it's not a big cavernous, like 20,000-seat gym. It's
well,
like
that's the other
12,000.
Thing is, can Cooley get the program back to where they're filling the seats in an 18,000?
It's a huge question.
Seat arena.
Yeah.
I mean, that's hard to do, but maybe he can.
I don't know, but I was kind of surprised, that there was that much like vitriol from that area.
Well, it's just because if he would have taken the Michigan job or Texas job or, you know, Illinois, and another big-time job.
Within the conference?
I just think from within the conference, that really
hurts.
The
Portnoy blog headline does make me chuckle that he posted last night. Said, I don't care what Jeff Goldblum says. Ed Cooley is Satan. Satan. And that's a pretty tough comp right there.
All right, coming up next, it is mock draft season. Love Daniel mock Jeremiah draft. Has his mock Love draft him. 3.0. What does he have the Commanders doing in round one?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. Junkies come to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. You know, the last week plus, when we've been talking about Commanders, it's mostly been free agency. And they re-signed Daron Payne, brought in some offensive linemen, a linebacker, corner. Jacoby Brissett is a backup quarterback. So we've been talking a lot of NFL free agency. And we've been talking about the ownership situation, which yesterday we got an update. It might go all the way until May, according to Albert Breer.
Might drag on a bit.
Yeah, we thought it was going to happen this week. And then all of a sudden, Breer said it couldn't go all the way till May.
I listened to Kime this morning, and he was adamant on his podcast that there's going to be no vote this weekend. It never was intended to be a vote. There's not going to be a vote. And, you know, John is not one that's going to speak about rumor or anything. And so
We were wrong on that.
We were buying into the hype that there was going to be some sort of announcement. And I said today, maybe today there'll be some sort of announcement.
Buying into first and goal.
Momentum is building, it seemed, over the weekend.
You know, Rick Snyder came on yesterday, and he's hearing things. And
it doesn't mean that it's not close, and it sounds like it is close, but there's still just it's just a process. It just takes time.
Correct.
And it still sounds like the Harris Group is the lead group, for whatever it's worth. I know we're moving on to the mock, but it does sound like, if you read between the lines, what everybody is insinuating is that the Harris Group is the lead group.
Right.
Kime says, really, it's only between, at this point, between Harris and Fertitta, it seems like, because those are the only two known. The other two people that even took tours were anonymous, and there's been no follow-up.
True, but every time we think something's going to happen, the opposite does. So,
yeah. So we'll see what happens there, but
surprised.
It may drag out. Drag on for a couple months here. That was the report yesterday. But that's mostly what we've been talking about with the Commanders in the last week plus, free agency and ownership situation. But there's a draft next month. And eventually we're going to start paying more and more attention to the draft. And Daniel Jeremiah is one of the best at putting out mock drafts. And on NFL.com, he put out his latest mock, which has changed. Because now Carolina has the number one pick.
Well, he also has Bryce Young going one. Is it the sort of the opinion trending that it's more Stroud right now?
Depends on who you
seems like he's the favorite in some of the betting markets too.
Yeah.
Oh, he's definitely the favorite.
I'm surprised he has Bryce there. Not that it's a stretch, but
Frank Reich kind of spoke glowingly of
Young?
Of Bryce Young when he was asked about his height and stuff. So nobody knows for sure what they're gonna do. They're gonna pick one of those two guys, and then the Texans are gonna probably pick one of those two guys.
Whoever
doesn't
get picked at one, the Texans will take it too.
So the Washington Commanders have the 16th pick. And in most mock drafts, they've been selecting offensive linemen or corners. Mm-hmm. It seems like that's what they've been selecting. But here, they have them selecting Dalton Kincaid, the tight end from Utah.
Love it. Love that pick.
That
Big
would be
fan.
A sexy pick.
That is dead
that
sexy.
That would be a sexy pick.
Kincaid is, he's a really good athlete. He's an interesting story because he only played 1 year of high school football. He was a basketball player, very good basketball player. Mm-hmm. And his buddies in high school convinced him to play football. He played 1 year.
Yeah.
Unrecruited, went to the University of San Diego, played there, then transferred to Utah. I mean, he's just a really good athlete. But I guess the only negative with him is just like his overall size. He's 6'4", but he's kind of light. Mm-hmm. But he's got really good hands, good athlete, man.
That just means if he's light, they're not going to rely on him just to be an inline
blocker. But tight ends now are just, they're more athletic anyway. So it kind of fits.
I love it. I love because
I know you want offensive weapons.
Look, Logan Thomas, I would love for him to get back to the form where he caught like 70-plus balls a few years ago, pre-injury, pre-ACL. Don't know if he's going to get back to that. And I know that there's hype that they love the guys that are already in the room, but are any of those guys real difference makers that can catch 50 balls in a season? I don't know if any of those guys have that upside. The Cole Turners and the John Bates. I mean, he's a blocking tight end. He's
Bates
not really
will
a factor.
Never do that, but
I love that, especially if you feel like he's a good value in the middle of the first round.
If
and
they
you feel
draft
like it's a
him,
need,
they will probably release Logan.
Logan's carrying a pretty big number heading into 2023.
Here's what I love about Dalton Kincaid is that over the last two seasons, he had 138 targets and two drops.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his hands.
Hands
are
great. Yeah,
butter soft.
He caught 70 balls last season.
Yeah, and I think
he was hurt some of the year.
And he was hurt at the combine.
Yeah.
Now, you know what's interesting about this mock draft? If you were the Commanders in this mock draft, if this was a real draft, and you had the pick, and you had 10 minutes or 15 minutes, whatever they give you, in this draft, you have the option to draft Will Levis because he's got Will Levis sliding to 19.
He sucks.
And Joey Porter Jr., who's one of the guys who I know Jason's been super high on, the corner from Penn State.
I like him, yeah.
They also
but I like Kincaid, too.
They also have Hendon Hooker going in the first round. Jeremiah does. Yeah. Jeremiah has, what, five quarterbacks going in the first round?
Has Hooker going to the Vikings in his mock.
Andy, has your boys, Dravy, taking Jalen Carter at five. Did you see that?
I did see that. I don't think that's going to happen. I said 0.000.
You I'll did put say it, that.
I'll say 0.0001.
Oh, it's
giving myself an out, but I just can't see with the red
uptick.
Flags that are there with him that they want to be invested in that.
Yeah.
Well, I just don't think he's slipping to out of the top 20 like a lot of people thought when the allegations came out. He's still going to go very
high. Yeah, I think the allegations are one thing. A stupid car thing or whatever. I mean, it's awful, but okay, you can maybe discuss. What hurts him even more, I think, is just how out of shape he's been.
Yeah.
In those workouts.
That hurts.
Yeah, it's not great to show up.
But he never had that
like
issue
that.
When he was playing at Georgia. I'm going to chalk that up to everything that's happening off the field.
It's just been too much.
It's been a lot
of stuff. Yeah, but I saw people saying, look, he's going through a lot right now. He didn't have time to work out, all this stuff. And then I saw a picture of him this weekend partying with his friends on a boat.
Oh, really?
So maybe he's just, about that life.
He hasn't gotten the message quite yet.
Yeah.
Maybe.
There's a reason there's a cliche called fat and happy.
Yeah. Well, he hasn't even been drafted yet. Like, I can maybe understand it after you get drafted and you secure your money and you sign your deal. He hasn't signed anything. If anything, he's costing himself money with the shenanigans.
What, would you take Dalton Kincaid over the Notre Dame tight end? Most people have Kincaid ranked higher.
It seems like a weird flip because Mayer seems like he's been going earlier in most of the mocks. And in this one, he's going, I think, 29th to the Saints.
What if they took Mayer?
You got a really good tight end.
Yeah. I mean, they're both. I'm telling you, there's like five awesome tight ends in this draft.
Uh huh.
So, but Kincaid and Mayer are probably.
He's another one who was a basketball guy. Who, if you read his bio, says he was eyeing a basketball scholarship.
And I would guess Eric
Bieniemy
is pretty good
and he's more
drawing
physical.
Up plays for tight ends.
Uh-huh.
He's kind of been exposed to that with a Hall of Fame tight end since he's been in Kansas City.
See, Mayer's, he's just a bigger guy. I don't know if he's as athletic. He's a good athlete, but he's just bigger. I think he's 270, maybe close to 270.
Well, they list him at 249.
Oh,
they
really?
Listed the other kid at 246, so they're not that different.
I want
I
the
see him
lighter
at 265.
Guy who's going to block less
okay, I'm
and
looking
run.
At NFL.
I want the guy who's going to run more routes. That's who I want.
Maybe he lost weight.
Bieniemy.
Maybe he lost weight for the combine.
Combine. Yeah.
Yep.
possible.
But either way, you're going to get a good, really good player.
Right. Well.
But do you know what? Every single person has their own mock draft.
Yes, they
do. No, I know. Here's how I would rank it in terms.
You're never going to have two identical mock drafts.
Here's how I would rank it in terms of excitement level. If they drafted a tight end in the first round, I think that's about as exciting as we're going to get. Because they're not going to draft a receiver.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to draft a quarterback. Mm-hmm. So
no,
if they draft a tight end, that would probably be the most exciting sort of impact type, like somebody we can all immediately get excited about. If they draft an offensive line, I think it'd be very utilitarian, very smart. If they draft a corner, I think also likewise, same thing, utilitarian, smart, but not as exciting. The tight end, all things being equal in terms of what's their need, would be the sexiest pick.
I think by signing Wiley and Gates during free agency, that just frees them up to like
they can go wherever
they
want.
Kincaid,
I do. I think they
just
go wherever they
right
want.
There. And they can add a couple linemen later in the draft, second, third, fourth round. Add those guys there.
But they need to add, not like Sadiq Charles, they need to add people like proven, durable guys, you know, like from Iowa or something that you can just play.
Right.
You know they can play. They're going to stay healthy. The you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like the Tyler Lindenbaums of the world, Valdez, that the Ravens love. Just draft Iowa offensive linemen. Seems to be a pretty good
making my case that he should win Offensive Rookie of the Year.
That's right. That's your guy.
Did you see their workouts, who they invited in for their workouts? Yes, because I thought I saw that tweeted
yesterday.
The
Commanders?
Yeah, the Commanders.
I did not.
I thought it was all of it was a handful of offensive linemen, and then there's like two linebackers.
Well, I know they met with a ton of linemen.
Yeah, I think that was the same thing that we saw.
And they had a workout with
the private workout.
They had a workout with the dude from Cleveland, the linebacker. He had a visit. His name's escaping me.
Anthony Carter or something.
I think that's
something
it.
Like that.
Something along those lines.
But they worked out the tackle from Florida. I think that was the big name that was on there. And then, who was the other? The tackle from Georgia.
Offensive tackle?
Yeah, the offensive
question.
Tackle.
If you're putting this team together, and I don't know the answer to it.
Broderick Jones.
Yeah.
What helps Hal succeed more right away? An offensive lineman or a tight end? Like a starting offensive lineman or a sensational tight end?
You know where I'm going to go with that.
You're always going to go with that
tight end,
but you do need to be able to protect, or you can't make those throws.
But they did go out and get two guys.
They did, but they're not. They're like average, you know, good players. They're not great.
Well, I mean, you could take a tight end in the first round. You get a huge weapon for Hal, and you go offensive line second round. Get another
and
huge weapon.
Still get a and yeah. still protect him.
Yeah.
I've been on board for weeks and weeks saying upgrade a tight end.
So you like the tight end too. It's sexy.
I do. I don't know the difference between Mayer and Kincaid.
I think
so. Mayer before the combine was listed as 265 pounds.
Yeah,
he must have lost some weight.
He probably lost weight to get his 40 speed time down, which he ran a 4.7.
Right.
I can't find Kincaid's.
I think he was
hurt. Kincaid was hurt, so I don't think he ran.
Run.
Yeah, I was trying to find their bench press, but I couldn't find that either.
He may not have done that. It looks like he did. Yeah, just did the vertical, a broad
jump.
So
I think that, look, Kincaid, or the kid from Notre Dame, they call him Baby Gronk. That's intriguing.
So you would take Baby Gronk.
Yeah, because it's kind of he's the bigger dude, and Gronk is. If you're comparing him to Gronk, that is super impressive. Just my impression, not having watched the guy, is that Kincaid, who's in this mock draft, he might be, because he's smaller, more of kind of like the tweener wide receiver tight end. Not as big, obviously, probably not as strong. And maybe he's a better route runner, though. Maybe he's faster. I don't know.
That's what I care about. Are you a better route runner? Do you create mismatches for your offense?
Well, I think Gronk created mismatches.
Well, that plus hands. That plus hands. You got to have great hands, and they both
Draft
do.
Brought up the fact that Kincaid never drops the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Just never drops it.
Yeah.
is
kind of a late bloomer.
That's what they said about Dotson, and then in the season he started dropping some balls.
Well, I mean, he had a lot of good catches though too.
They're like, he's never dropped the ball.
I'm gonna assume one of those was like in the lights or something.
Dotson did have one that it was right in the midst. Yeah, I don't know how he dropped it, but he made some really nice snags too.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna forget about.
But
those.
Do you think that drafting if you're the Commanders, is drafting a tight end a luxury pick?
No.
In the first round?
I don't think so.
Is that a luxury selection?
No, because you could argue it's a need.
If he becomes a focal point of your offense and catches 60 balls as a rookie?
See, okay, how many tight ends have caught 60 balls?
I don't know.
I mean, it's going to be
unlikely.
I'm
just throwing a random number out there.
I know, but it's unlikely,
I always overestimate how many balls. But look,
I mean, obviously the league has changed and you're throwing the ball a lot more. You're not just throwing it to receivers.
No, for sure. But we have guys that can catch the ball. I mean, they do have tight ends. In fact, they like their tight ends. Logan has been a disappointment the last couple of years because of injury.
Yeah.
Travis Kelce caught 60 as a rookie. Caught 67.
Okay.
I mean, now I'm comping him to a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I'm not
maybe
saying,
the greatest of all
first
time.
First ballot Hall of
maybe
Famer.
The greatest ever.
But in year three, I mean, Kincaid or Mayer, whoever, could catch 67 balls.
Yeah, but your boy Kyle Pitts probably doesn't have 63 catches in two seasons.
That's why he's on the FUBAR list.
I know, but everybody,
so funny.
Everybody assumed he was coming in and catch 100 balls.
It's not his fault. He's in an offense that stresses running the ball.
He's had poop, too.
I understand. Like, there are other factors. I get the concept.
If you put Kyle Pitts in a passing-friendly offense, he would have 60
Kyle
catches.
Kyle Pitts was the biggest sure thing I've ever
He's
seen in the history
freak.
Of football. Right, and he hasn't done that much.
Here's why I like drafting a tight end over an offensive line. And it remains to be seen whether it's going to work out. But here's your current depth chart at offensive line for the Commanders. Mm-hmm. Wiley's going to start at right tackle.
All right.
Cosme's going to move into right guard.
Yeah.
Center's a bit of a question mark, but they re-signed Tyler Larson. Rouillet is still there. I don't know that they're counting on. And Gates supposedly can play center.
Yeah.
So between those three, there's going to be
Didn't
a center.
Gates play center when he was with the Giants this season?
I think he moved all up and down the lineup. Yeah.
I know he played all the positions during his tenure, but what did he play this past season?
I thought
he played center.
I don't have his game-by-game spots.
Go ahead.
So left guard is Andrew Norwell, and then you have
Leno.
Leno as your left tackle.
Right.
You can draft somebody if you want, but I think you're okay there. I like the tight end. Because let's say Logan is healthy. What's wrong with having two pass-catching tight ends?
Nothing.
Because the other guys, I don't buy into catching. And Cole Turner, hyped, gave you four catches. I think he was a fifth rounder.
I think that's right. Yeah.
I think so.
Nobody I don't really have much faith like in
but
the fifth rounders.
You don't work with them every day. They worked with them. They really like them.
I was listening to Grant and Danny, and I agree with Danny. I don't know if Grant had the same opinion. But they always say they like their guys. Yeah, we like our tight ends. Right. We like our running backs. We like all.
Doesn't mean they can't get better.
They were 500.
You know who I like better? Tight ends are first-round pedigrees.
Yeah.
And fifth-rounders out of Nevada.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I like those guys
be
better.
To see
they liked Reyes a lot, too. Samis Reyes.
Well,
they didn't like him that much.
He was a feel-good story.
That's not fair. They gave him a shot because he's a freak athlete.
It's rare that you have a really good pass-catching tight end that with speed and great hands and then can block, too. So a lot of these teams have that guy, and they have a blocking tight end. So they could like those tight ends for certain reasons, but doesn't mean you can't get better at the position.
No, for sure.
And you could always, Cakes, you could, if you're just tantalized, you could draft a receiver if you decide after, like, let's say there's a great receiver on the board that you really love.
If
you draft him, you just move on from Curtis Samuel, and you lost Cam Sims, maybe you need some more depth.
No, they signed it. They signed like a guy from the Chiefs,
Kemp.
Yeah,
Kemp.
He's got like 10 career catches or something.
I'm just saying they signed him.
I know.
And Bieniemy signed him for a reason because he knows the skill set.
If Smith and Jigba is there at 16, which I don't think he will, probably go top 10 or 12. He's going 11 in this draft. Bieniemy's going to be in Ron's ear. He's going to say, "That kid from Ohio State's really good. We might want to add him to the mix."
And then they do what? Then they release Curtis Samuel.
Well, I don't know how much dead cap they would take on if they released Samuel. Or, you know what? It's okay to have four really good receivers.
I know the fans wouldn't have a problem with that.
It's okay. It's okay to have extra good receivers on your team.
Does Cakes think that Bieniemy in this offense is going to throw the ball 60 times a game?
I don't know what he's going to do.
Well, not with Hal, they're not.
It seems like the impression that I get is that it's going to be a pass happy offense that Cakes thinks is they're going to use.
Look, I always overestimate all of the passing numbers for the Commanders. I've been doing this for 20
years. He's just advocating for
that's
more
his
weapons.
Brand.
He's just advocating for more weapons.
I think you understand my brand by now.
Marcus Kemp has four career catches.
Yeah, I don't care about Marcus Kemp.
But he's replacing with Kemp Sims.
He's a practice squad guy. So, whatever. He's like your sixth receiver.
I mean, to me, it's, they're kind of the same. They're backups.
Anyway, I don't mind them drafting a tight end. In fact, I like it.
I would be the most excited about it. I'm not sure it would be the best move for him, but I would be the most excited because you could tangibly see the guy contribute game in and game out. Offensive linemen, it's hard to know, unless they're like pancake makers.
If you want to chime in.
Right, it's like Orlando Pace in his prime.
It's hard.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067 is the number on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Remember, coming up in an hour, we'll talk to the head coach of the Washington Capitals, Peter LaViolette, here on The Fan. Years and years ago, we used to compete for so-called belts in various topics.
Yep, true.
Whether
especially
it was
this
history,
time of year.
Yeah,
with not much going on.
Geography,
yep.
And spelling. I believe we once had a spelling bee on the show. I want to say Cakes won the spelling bee belt.
I'm never going to claim to be a spelling expert.
Drab has a story about the words that we can't spell, and I told him he was going to hand me the story. And me asked you guys, I was like, well, why don't we just go old school?
Like it.
And he reads the stories, and we try and spell the words.
Impromptu spelling bee?
Now, hold on. Where does this come from?
All right, so this came from a study.
Blank sheets of paper.
About the most Googled words on how to spell them.
I'll tell you a word that I struggle with all the time.
Well, it might be on this list here.
All right, can I just tell it to you, though?
Sure.
And I always have to Google it.
Struggling.
Bureaucrat.
Struggling.
That's a difficult one.
That's a tough one.
Butt hard word for me to spell.
Why do you have to write it?
I'm constantly complaining about bureaucrats.
That doesn't surprise me.
I haven't even heard that word in like 10 years.
I've heard that word in a long time.
I'm constantly texting the word bureaucrat to my friends.
Oh, really? Like if you went searched in your text.
Thank God I'm not those text chains.
I've never texted that word.
Believe me.
Ever. I don't think I've written that word down.
No.
Ever.
Yeah. Well, it's a butt hard word to spell, and I still couldn't do it correctly right now.
I'm with you. I'm terrible at spelling.
But that's not on the list.
So you guys want to go around the room like old school spelling bee style?
Yeah, we have
each get an award.
How many words?
Just give us the word.
We're gonna try
give us five, maybe?
No, let's just go around the room until you're eliminated.
Like
Survivor.
Oh, like a bee.
Yeah, like a bee.
I like it.
No, why don't we just do five and then see who gets the most correct? I don't want to be eliminated. I want to try each one.
Yeah, going last is a major advantage here.
It certainly is.
No, Kate, Drabby, let us do all five.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, but hold on. I want you to give us the background again, where this comes from.
The most Googled words that people look up how to spell.
All right.
So these are common words that people don't know how to spell.
Right. Spelling is less and less important, though, because if you're just typing in a text, it predicts what you're writing anyway.
It corrects you.
All right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right, I'll give the first one. Diarrhea.
It's a hard one. I Google this one a lot too, and I type this one a lot.
Shaky. All right.
Oh, I don't
diarrhea.
Know if that looks right.
I'm pretty sure I'm wrong.
What about bougie?
Is that even a real word?
It's a real word.
The full word?
Yeah.
See, I don't know.
Like when Eric claims
like Migos spells it, or like
when Eric claims his daughter's bougie.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and only eats at Nobu.
That's my daughter. Both my daughters are pretty bougie.
I usually hype myself up.
Just clearly guesses.
I'm not comfortable with either of my first names.
I'm 0 for 2 so far.
Why is diarrhea one of the most Googled words?
A lot of people say I got diarrhea.
Yeah. Everybody at some point.
Sorry, I can't make it. I got diarrhea.
It's hard, but it's a hard word to spell.
People talk about their diarrhea all the time.
They do.
Especially on this show.
All right. Yeah. My family, we talk about duties all the time.
All right. I think this one's challenging. Maintenance.
Oh, I'm pretty sure I could get that one. If I get this one wrong, that's kind of embarrassing.
Yeah.
That one to me is the only layup so far.
If
somebody misses that.
If I get maintenance wrong, I'm embarrassed.
Yeah, it's Joan worthy if you miss that.
I feel like
including
I can get
me.
That one.
This is on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Restaurant.
You know what? There's probably I probably got it wrong. Restaurant, I think I get that one too.
I expect Jason to get this right since he's hooked at every single one.
Well, I don't know.
You know what? Darn it.
I never spell
it. Well, now all of a sudden I'm doubting myself. Oh, that could be shit.
I think I got that one right. Go ahead.
Are we only doing five?
That's yeah, I think five's good.
All right. Receipt.
Oh, I think I got that.
All right.
All right, hold on.
All right, here you
come
in and get 'em.
With 3 through 5, 1 and 2. I've got questions.
You come in and get them.
He doesn't need. He just.
You'll be honored.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think I might have missed.
All right, we'll go around the room and just spell it like you.
I might only have two right.
All right. I think I've got.
All right, I think I got the first one wrong, but.
All right. So the first word was diarrhea. I'll. Each person can say how they spelled it. I spelled it D-I-A-R-H.
Yeah.
E-A.
I spelled it.
Okay.
D-I-A. R R H E A.
I got two R's.
I don't know if that's right, or not.
I spelled it D I A R. That's already wrong. H H E A. I was close.
You were probably the furthest away.
No, there's definitely not two H's.
Is it two R's?
There's two R's.
Damn it.
So what is it?
D I A R R H E A.
So I got two H's instead of two R's.
I'm 1-0.
I was one letter off. You said I was the most off.
I was one letter off, too.
You had two H's.
Yeah, but two H's. I mean,
all right. So Cakes and Jason both have a point.
Now, I did it with two H's first, and I said, whoa, that doesn't look right. Crossed it out and got lucky and put the two R's.
All right.
There's a lot of times if you write it down, you can recognize the way you've seen it spelled.
All right, Bougie.
I know Bougie's wrong, but want to hear how
Yeah, let's hear you first.
All right. How do we know you're spelling it correctly?
Because it's based in the dictionary.
All right. Bougie, B-O-U-G-H-I-E.
I'm pretty sure that's not
right. I spelled it B-O-U-J-I-E.
That's definitely not right. I think this is wrong, but I spelled it B-O-U-G-E-O-I-S-E. I don't think that's right either.
That's like bourgeoisie.
Yeah, the bourgeoisie has RGH. I don't think it's right, but I felt like this is like a trending word. So I just did B-O-U-G-H-E-E.
All right, the correct spelling of bougie is B-O-U-G-I-E.
Oh, so I just had an H in there. I've had two H's.
Yeah, I thought it was bourgeoisie. I thought bougie was short for bourgeoisie.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
So that's the way I tried.
All right, maintenance,
to spell
I'm 0 for 2.
All right, if I get maintenance wrong, I'm going to be embarrassed.
All right, let's hear how you spelled it.
M-A-I-N-T-E-N-A-N-C-E.
That's correct.
Yep.
Correct. Everybody got that?
That's
right?
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah. I got.
Did you? Why would you have not gotten that one correct, Drab?
I may miss that one.
Drab's an awful speller.
Is that true?
Drab always asks me if he spelled something right.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Cakes and Jason both have 2 points.
I don't even know how.
EB and I have
Which
one
did you guys get correct?
I got diarrhea.
I got diarrhea.
I got tattoos.
I'm silly with diarrhea.
And maintenance.
All right. Restaurant. How did you guys spell restaurant?
All right. I got, I don't know. It might be.
This is number one on the list.
Yeah, this one is number one.
Most Googled word.
R-E-S-T-A-R-A-U-N-T.
Incorrect.
All right. You flipped the U. I have it R-E-S-T-A-U-R-A-N-T.
Correct.
All right. I got it wrong.
I'm bitter.
Now, I'm assuming that.
How did you spell it,
correct,
Eric?
I spelled it the way Jason did. I had it both ways. I crossed out the
You had
way.
Aunt at the end, like aunt.
All right.
I knew the AU was tricky.
I know.
How can I not spell restaurant? I go there 4 times a week.
Because it looks like it should be aunt at the end.
That's a terrible. You know what? The English language sucks.
It should be restaurant.
I think
how it should be pronounced.
Yes, probably true. Right.
We're going to restaurant.
Yep.
Does right. Cake smoking everybody?
No, he's got 3. I have 2.
I got 2.
Jason has 2. EB has 1.
All right, last one.
If Cakes gets this, he's the champ.
He's going to get this.
Receipt.
R-E-C-E-I-P-T.
It's got to be correct.
That's what I have. Correct. I got two right.
All right. I'm bitter. You won.
Did you get receipt right?
Yeah, I got R-E-C-I-P-T. Yeah.
All right, final score. Cakes,
I'll take
the Spelling Bee champion.
80%.
Four out of five.
Aaron Rodgers bit.
Jason and I, 3 out of 5. EV, 2 for 5.
I can't believe I botched restaurant.
Well, I botched diarrhea.
That's embarrassing.
Tied Cakes if I got the Rhea.
Yeah.
I'm bitter I got two restaurant walks. Wrong. Diarrhea, I... Whatever.
Well, you just say duty.
Duty. Right. I mean, diarrhea is a hard word to spell. It's not
how
easy.
Do you spell duty? D-O-O-D?
No, D-O-T-Y, I think, is correct.
Huh?
Duty.
Oh, no, I would spell it with a D.
Duty
is D-O-O-T-Y-E.
It's not a real word.
Right, I would go D-I-E.
Let me see. Hold on. Mm-hmm. Okay, Google, how do you spell duty?
Just say D
U T Y.
Oh, no, like duty, like
course. Yeah, like Call of Duty.
All right, hold on, let me do it again. How do you spell duty like poop?
Oh, it's got a Y at the end. It's not the I E.
Excrement. Duty is defined as a slang term for feces. An example of duty is the name a toddler may assign to bowel movements.
Yeah, toddlers.
How do they spell it?
D O O D Y.
Oh, so there's a Y.
And
I put a T in there instead of a D.
Yeah.
Damn shame that wasn't on the quiz. Cakes, you are the champion, the spelling champion of the Junkies. Once again, you've defended your crown from like 20 years ago.
You got to do it sometimes.
Hope you're proud of it.
Coming up next, we open up EV's entertainment page here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.